At Avocado, we know that not all mattresses are created equal. While other beds trap heat, ours sets it free. Made without polyurethane foams and crafted with natural latex, cotton, and wool. Breathable, comfortable, and supportive. No overheating, just clean, organic sleep that performs. Save 15% on our award-winning mattresses this July 4th sale. Avocado, celebrate organic. Shop at avocadomattress.com or leading retailers nationwide.
The Hard Shoulder with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
And joining us this week for the Thursday interview, we are delighted to say, is Sonia O'Sullivan. Sonia, your accolades are far and wide. Gold medalist at the World Championships, obviously silver medal in the Olympics, the world record you set in 1994, which stood until 2017. You have had so many highs. Do you have a favourite?
Not really, no. I think, I think they all have, like, I suppose, special memories and probably not even the achievement, but the kind of lead up to it and the, you know, the people that help you to get to those points. And probably even more so, I suppose, you probably have special moments when you have, like, probably lulls in your career or dips and things don't go so well. And when you're able to fight back from that. So I had a few of those as well.
Yeah,
so,
well, can we bring you right back? Let's go right, because we kind of want to find out about Sonia the woman. Like, back to 1987, you're 17, you won your first national title. Did you have any clue then? Were you sort of ambitious enough to dream of all the things that you went on and did? Or did you have any clue then where your kind of athletics career was going to go?
Well, it was kind of unusual, you know, back then to run a national senior title at such a young age. And I had won the junior championships just 2 weeks before. And then I heard that my main rival, Anita Philpott at the time, was entered for the senior championship. So I kind of thought, oh, I'd like to do that too. And so it just became, you know, a bit of a, I suppose you're trying to keep up with your rivals and, you know, you didn't want someone to be doing a bit more than me. So, yeah, I signed up, but with very little expectation, you know, of, you know, winning the race. That was probably furthest from my mind at the time. So, yeah, it was as much a surprise to me as anybody else.
Did you know how good you were? Did you know the potential that you had?
Not really, no. I mean, I think for me, it's always been one step at a time, mm-hmm. and always going through the different stages. So, you know, you focus on the level that you're at that moment. And then once you achieve that, so, you know, once you become a county champion or a Munster champion or All-Ireland champion, then you look around and you say, okay, well, what's next? And, you know, I can remember that interview after winning the National Cross Country Championships, and it was Brendan O'Reilly was the commentator and interviewer at the time. And he said to me, well, what's next now, Sonia? And I said, well, I'd like to go to the Olympics. And I have no idea where that came from because, you know, it was 1987. I didn't really know much about the Olympics back then. You know, the only, I suppose, person I would have had any connection with, and it would probably just from reading running magazines, was when John Tracy won his silver medal in 1984.
Yeah.
And, you know, the 87 was the year before the next Olympics, but I wouldn't have, you know, even known that probably at the time.
Can I ask you, because I see you now on TV doing kind of analysis and stuff, and you're very comfortable in that place and in the public eye. Was it difficult because you kind of grew up in the public eye, and you know the kind of nation took you to your heart, took you to their heart very quickly? But was it difficult being so exposed? I mean, in terms of the spotlight and publicly, did you find that difficult? Did you find that a challenge?
I don't think so. I mean, I think people have it more difficult now. I think, I think back then we didn't have the same relationship, I think, with media people as athletes would now. And, you know, I suppose in a way I would have been very defensive and wouldn't have given away too much because, you know, in my mind I was thinking, well, if I'm telling the media, I might be telling the world and mm-hmm. all my rivals, you know. So I was giving very little away. So it wasn't until, I suppose, later in my career that I realized that actually we can work together, and you know, it's beneficial to everybody to tell your story and to share things, and also, you know, in that way also to, you know, share it with young athletes who are looking up to you and, you know, looking to want to know what, you know, how do you get to this point? How do you become successful? How do you compete on the world stage? So, you know, it took many years for me to realize that and to understand that. And, you know, back then, you know, I suppose the word, you know, inspiring and, you know, being an athlete that young athletes looked up to, that wasn't really discussed. You didn't see that. I think that's much more accessible to people now. Yeah. And, you know, I hear a lot of, you know, younger athletes now, they say, I was one of the first athletes that they would have seen on TV competing at a high level. And, you know, I didn't know that at the time.
Yeah, I suppose you can't realise the impact you're having. You're talking about young athletes, of course. You've got one in your own life, your daughter, Sophie, following in your footsteps, literally.
She wouldn't say that. But,
sorry, I'm not trying to offend her, but
she's
obviously talented too.
She likes to carve her own path and, you know, sure, do things her own way. And, you know, she's probably been lucky enough that she, you know, grew up in, you know, in the UK for a little bit when I was still competing, and also went to school in Australia. So she was, you know, always far away from, I suppose, the spotlight that could have been put on her in Ireland from a very young age. And then she, you know, was able to just launch herself into competing for Ireland at the under 18 and under 20 and under 23 level. And you know, she made some good progress there. She won a couple of medals. So, you know, you can see, yeah, she's got talent and she's got ability. But I have been most useful to Sophie is when things are not going right, you know, when if she's had an injury or, you know, you've got to, you know, step away from, like, it's easy when everything is going smoothly and you're just out there doing, you know, the specific training for running. It's when you have to do other things and, you know, you're not able to do that. That's when you need big supports around you, and then everybody is important.
From GEICO Subconscious News, I'm Tammy Racing Thoughts, broadcasting from your brain. Tonight's top worry: if something happens to your apartment and you need to, like, stay in a hotel and pay for it, that would be crazy, right? Art Palpitations has more.
That would be crazy, Tammy, but you got surprisingly affordable renter's insurance through GEICO, so it could be covered, giving you peace of mind.
Aw, I love a story that ends well.
Next up, love stories. Are they all they're cracked up to be?
It feels good to worry less. It feels good to GEICO.
And that thing, I mentioned the Olympics, so we'll go there. Like, when you do have a significant disappointment and you've put in so much effort and so much work, and then on the day, for whatever the reason, it cannot go your way, is that as devastating as it looks from the outside looking at it? Is it unbelievably difficult?
Yeah, it's definitely tough at the time, you know, I mean, but I mean, you get disappointments across all races. And, you know, when it comes to a big race like the Olympics and things don't go right, you know, it's another 4 years till you get to do it again. So that's why it's so difficult for athletes to win Olympic medals. And, you know, there's been many athletes who are great athletes who just don't get it right on the Olympic stage, because it's that one moment every 4 years. And, you know, that's what makes a lot of athletes great, is that, you know, even if they're not at their best, they can still manage to come away with an Olympic medal. But when things don't go right, yeah, it's tough. But, you know, you have to learn how to deal with that and to manage it. And you have to take the time to do that.
Was that why that medal, and I think everybody felt it at the time when you won the silver in Sydney, was that particularly sweet? Because, I mean, you had tasted huge highs, I know, and you'd won the World Championships in 1995, and I mean, for so long you were at the top of your game. But was it particularly sweet because of the setbacks maybe you had in 96, and did that make it extra sweeter when the success came, do you think?
It definitely did, but, you know, there definitely wasn't the expectation that it was going to be automatically happen. For me, it was, you know, the Olympics in 1992. I was fourth place in the 3,000 metres. And, you know, to be so close, you know, it makes you realise that you belong at that level. And so then, you know, going to 96 and after winning the European Championships and the World Championships, and then all of a sudden the level of expectation is huge. And, you know, you then, you know, there is quite a bit of pressure then, I suppose, to live up to that. But then you also do strange things. You think because it's the Olympics that you have to try a bit harder and do a bit more, when really you just have to keep doing the same stuff and, you know, just building, you know, more on top of what you've already capable of, rather than thinking, you know, the Olympics is that much greater, but you're actually racing the same people that you race in the World Championships.
Can I ask you about the current, I suppose, golden girl of Irish athletics? She is an absolute phenomenon, and Rashida Adelecki. And I think probably she's probably our greatest hope in terms of success since you retired. This is a big year coming up for her. Is this a year she has to deliver, or is she still so young that she has plenty of time on her side, do you think?
I mean, Rashida, she didn't really get to compete very much last year. So, you know, she's kind of lost a year there of knowing where she's at. And just, you're never too young. You know, if you're good, you're good, and you can compete with the best. Rashida, she was second, I think, 2 years ago at the European Championships. So she'll be trying to match that or do better, I imagine. And then hopefully she'll run with the relay team as well, because the women's 4x4, they're actually very good this year. They've got a good, solid team. And, you know, they've qualified for the World Championships. And if they're in the European Championships, I mean, there were seven European teams in the World Relay Championships final recently, and Ireland was not one of those seven. So it's going to be very, very tough for them at the European Championships. And, you know, if they're to be competitive and, you know, get a medal in an event that they won 2 years ago, then they definitely will be relying on Rashida to help them out there.
Just one last question about athletics in the general sense. I mean, after you retired, we did have a kind of a period where we didn't have a lot of success, but we're looking much better now, aren't we? We're competing and winning medals at the top level. What do you put that down to? Is it simply about investing in sport, do you think?
There's been, you know, a continuous growing investment in sport in Ireland across all different sports, and you know, athletics has always been a huge beneficiary of support in Ireland. And yeah, I think, you know, success breeds success. And, you know, when athletes see other athletes achieving on the European and the world stage, then they start to believe that they can too. And there's more and more athletes competing at that level now. I think, you know, the best example is Kate O'Connor in the heptathlon.
Yeah.
You know, she's won medals in the European Championships and the World Championships. So it'll be great to see her compete at the European Championships this summer in Birmingham, and see if she can, you know, get that elusive gold medal. But, you know, she'll be focusing more towards LA, and this is all a building block. But she definitely shows all the signs of, you know, being able to win medals each year.
Yeah. Sonia, you've always struck me as quite a private person, certainly not someone who ever has courted any kind of controversy or anything like that. But I've heard what you said about trans athletes competing. Why did you feel compelled to speak out on an issue that many people run a million miles from, if you excuse the pun, in terms of it being fraught with difficulty, the whole debate thing?
It was such a long time ago. I know it's an ongoing debate and discussion, but it was probably a topical conversation at the time. And, you know, I felt that, you know, like the Sebastian Coe at World Athletics has said, that, you know, biological females should compete against biological females. And, you know, that's, I mean, I can't see how anyone can argue with that.
Yeah, people do. But anyway, look, we'll move on from that. What next for you, Sonia? Do you have plans for the future? You've done so much already. You're 56 and only getting going in some ways, it seems. What next?
I suppose, you know, when you retire from athletics, it takes you a while to and it's been a while now, to kind of accept, you know, where you're at in, you know, the sporting world, and, you know, just keeping fit and general exercise. And so, you know, I've kind of had my ups and downs with running, but I feel like I'm back and enjoying running again.
Well, our predecessor in this chair, Kieran Cudahy, went for a run with you a few years ago, and he said you're still lightning quick. You're back in Cork at the park, Parky Queeve, next week. You're going to be speaking at the Alpha Welt Motivate, Prepare, Empower event. Nice to get back to Cork for a bit of a stay.
Yes, it's always good to be back in Cove and overlooking the sea here. I'm looking forward to the events next week. And, you know, it's, I suppose the thing for me now is you learn from the people that you work with. And, you know, I coach a number of athletes. I coach some people who, you know, are trying to break 3 hours for the marathon. And, you know, things like that, they kind of inspire me to, you know, make sure that I get myself out there every day.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With Kia.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.